Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Roost Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires, here with my co-host Matthew Bartlett, the founder and managing editor of The Roost, your premier source for Rice sports news and analysis. Thanks to everybody for listening to our extended off-season interview series so far. We're having a lot of fun with it. We hope y'all are too. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also find everything that gets posted on the site at the Twitter feed at The Roost. And then there's a separate feed for the podcast itself at The Roost Pod. So far I've been introducing, I feel like all our guests, I've had like a pretty concise thing to introduce them with, you know, like former Rice athlete and current blah, 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 you know, the person's name. But this week I think I need a couple more words. So we've got Rice football alum, recent reality show contestant and, general polymath renaissance man, Gabe Baker. Gabe, how you doing?
I'm doing really great. I'm really happy to be here. Anything connected to Rice that I get to be able to be a part of, I'm always happy to plug in. So thank you guys.
That was good. That was a lot of big words for quarantine time. But I guess if we're starting out as a Rice pod.
That's a good start.
Yeah, you know by now, there are no limited vocabularies on this podcast. So, you know, we'll go where the dictionary takes us.
Yeah, the test is next week. All right, man. Well, that was quite an introduction. I don't even know. We can't put you in a box, and I'm not quite sure where to start. So how about just not all the way at the beginning, but you leave Rice, get your degree, finish your football playing days. And what's kind of like the bullet points of your adventure from there since?
All right. I love this question because there's a lot of ways I've tried to navigate it with in terms of answering. So yeah, I finished my fifth year, December of 2014, Hawaii Bowl year, which was probably my favorite way to go out for sure. I couldn't think of a better way to finish my last year of football. And then, you know, I jumped in, was training for pro day, did my best to give a step into the pro direction. Things kind of fizzled out there. Didn't really get any opportunities, which was disappointing, but I was kind of surrendered to what would come because I was excited for, you know, things I could shift to next. And then I jumped straight just into the corporate life. I got a really great job as a civil engineer. So I was a roadway design engineer doing some cool things there. And, you know, as an athlete, you still have that competitive bone in you, right? So I was like, okay, what can I do now that's different, that still kind of fills that void that football once filled? And I actually had a good friend of mine who was like in the American Ninja Warrior realm. And I told him, like, as I was training for my pro day, I was like, hey man, if this thing phases out pretty soon, like I don't get any opportunities pro wise, I'm going to jump in and train with you and try this thing out for fun. So things happened the way they did. And then I just jumped in with him. So training like an obstacle courses, and it was super, completely, completely different, obviously. Long story short, through that, through some, a lot of torn hands from hanging on things that you normal people shouldn't be doing. a lot of trial and error through that process. But I actually got to be on the season 8 of American Ninja Warrior, which was really, really interesting, really fun. And to my understanding, they didn't show me in the episode that I competed in. For some reason, I say that because someone told me at one time, hey, I think I saw you. I was like, well, I don't think I saw myself, but as far as I know, it's so weird. As far as I know, I didn't make the episode, which is fine, but it was a really cool experience. And I kind of lead it that way because this was kind of like this new direction for me in just like, I don't know, just branching out. I have a big, like, adventurous spirit. I have a huge kind of appetite for just like trying new things and just growing. And so that took me into this new place of like, okay, let me try these obstacle course racing stuff. So I did a bunch of like Spartan races and different things. And from the American Ninja Warrior thing, in short, I got the opportunity to be on, there's a Netflix competition show called The Ultimate Beastmaster. So if you want to check that out, it was really cool. But it was on season 2, episode 2. It's still on Netflix, so you can check it out. But it was another kind of similar to American Ninja Warrior in the type of reality show it was. But it was like athletes from 6 different countries, including the U.S. You're on this. It was like a giant video game kind of look It was actually fascinating. I know, but it was called The Ultimate Beastmaster. Really, really
this
fun.
This is good. People need Netflix content right now.
They do. Well, people can watch. You'll have to skip. You can skip season one. Just go to season two, and you can check me out. But it was really fun. It was just, again, it was another like opportunity that seemingly came out of the blue that I was like, I'm here to grow and explore.
How do you train for stuff like that? Because it seems like one of those things like. Like, it's kind of like luge. Like, you know, you can't do like casual luge, right? Like one day you just have to get on the sled and fly down the side of a mountain. Like, how do you do like a beginner ninja warrior course?
Yeah, that's right. So you got to do something that transfers over to that skill, of course, right? So a lot of people, the most successful people do ninja obstacle course stuff are typically like bold rock climbers, indoor rock climbers. They do a lot of body weight. All calisthenics stuff to where basically you get to a point to where your strength to weight ratio is just at a really, really great place for you to succeed with hanging on your hands, right? Or whatever that means, body control. And the cool thing about it nowadays is that there's actually a lot of ninja gyms is what they call them. There's a couple in Houston. They got them in most cities.
So
I know it's like a niche thing. You don't know until you know. But once you like, if you were to do it, like a little Google Map search and search like either obstacle course training or ninja training course, you'll see there's a couple of them around Houston, and they're really great gyms. And again, they're these. So the ninja competition world extends beyond the show, which is cool. And there's actually competitions and tournaments and different things. Year round, which is a cool thing. And so you get in this new world of like competitors and sports and athletes, which is cool. And so that is how you train. There's actually these designated facilities.
Yeah, that's great. I did a quick Google, and we have Sam San Warriors All-Star Ninjas and Beast Body Fitness Company.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm just as soon as quarantine's over,
go just try it out. It's actually really fun. It's really humbling too. I'm like, from football, I was like, yeah, I'm really strong. I'm a good athlete. But no, I'm not made for this.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't realize how many like national adult trivia competitions there are that people travel to until after I was on Jeopardy. So it's like, once you get that intro to a subculture, it's like, whoa, there is a whole lot of stuff here that I was never aware of.
Yeah.
Wait, way to say it. So I don't know if we hit this on the podcast yet. So Gabe, you have now we're running out of fingers to count the reality shows and stuff that you've been on. And Carter, you have been on not The Bachelor, not yet, to my knowledge. But...
not yet.
My wife would feel super weird about it. Well, she actually would be excited, but I don't know if they would let me on. So.
That's right.
Jeopardy. So by the end of the podcast, we need to find some sort of show to go down the list for. That's your challenge.
Yeah. What? How are you at Wheel of Fortune? Well,
you know, I'm
really good at picking letters. My mother won't play me in Scrabble anymore. Is that something going for me?
I feel like that transfers.
If any game transfers to Wheel of Fortune, Scrabble's one of them.
There we go. So that aside, we deviated from Ninja Warrior to Beastmaster.
Yeah.
And then there was that? More.
There's more. Okay. So from there, you know, all the while I'm working and I'm really exploring a lot of things, just being here in Houston, being able to do a lot of things just on campus as well. I was able to do some things with the engineering department on the advisory board and become an associate at Brown College. And so just finding ways to stay plugged in with the student body, and be on the art association board. And so that's kind of in the realm of it all. Let's see. So that, yeah, there's kind of just two sides of the coin for me of just like exploring things and then really making some strides in my career. And I was able to go to, one of the other really cool things when I started working my engineering job is I do a lot of Christian ministry work. And so I went to Christian seminary and was able to pursue a degree there. And so it's kind of some interesting, like poking in different pockets. And then I guess what if you're curious of like the progression to The Bachelor, is that where this question is going?
Well, no. So far, you've hit American Ninja Warrior. You have a degree from seminary. You had a successful football career. You're an engineer, and you play music.
Yes. So again,
did I miss anything?
That's pretty accurate. And as you can see, I'm just trying to figure things out. And I think the world's your oyster kind of mindset has kind of been for me in a lot of senses. But yeah, so through that time, again, just exploring a lot of things, about 3 years into my engineering career, I wanted to make a shift into working in just like public policy, public affairs, just something that was more people centric. I knew that was something that I wanted to be more vested in from a career standpoint. And I had a good connection with former Harris County Judge Ed Emmett. I had an intern for him during my undergrad at Rice. And so he'd been a good friend, a good resource, a good mentor through the years, and still is, which is great. And so he gave me an opportunity to come on his staff working in flood control policy. So this was like right after Hurricane Harvey, which is really fascinating. Starting off easy. Yes. And so he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And it gave me an opportunity to work on his staff. And so that was a really, really cool shift that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I was like, oh, wow, I really enjoy working in this area that is like people issues. How can we try to use and leverage what we have from a government standpoint, from the leverage we have here to meet the needs in that kind of way? And so that's kind of really been where my heart is growing and moving forward from a career standpoint that I want to keep exploring and what like just from a civic service side. And so that's from a work side, that's where I've been at now. So now I currently work for Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo. And so kind of in this new time with a lot of different things, obviously through COVID, our office is, everything's focused there. And so it's just orienting my work and my mindset there has been interesting. Yeah. And so all the while, you know, exploring, working, and then this past fall, is when I randomly got reached out for this opportunity for this new Bachelor show that was coming out, and super, super out of the blue. I was kind of looking for it. For me, I've always just trying to look for things to compete in just from an athletic side of things. So like I've done, like, have you guys heard of the D10, the decathlon? It's called the D10. It's a charity philanthropic athletic competition, and they actually hosted it at Rice. They hosted the last 4 years at Rice at the track stadium. So essentially, it's this nationwide tour of this philanthropic effort, which is really great. All funds go to support pediatric cancer research, and so it's as it sounds. It's a 10 event competition. Essentially, I've been able to be a part of that for a couple of years. So my mindset is like, okay, what can I just compete in athletically? And I was looking for something there, and then this show came out to me, and I was like, I didn't have any interest at all to go on anything close to this, to be honest.
I missed the javelin throwing. Maybe that's in a later episode.
That's right. That was my hope. I was holding out. I was like, we're never gonna get to the sports. No, but it was something that was intriguing to me. I think it was a new concept. I've been doing music in different ways for a while, but never really full on. So I had been interested in finding an outlet to like step into music from that stepping stone, from that outlet. And so I was like, wow, platform for independent musicians as what it was presented as, also, of course, this show to create authentic connections, and you might find love, right? So I was like, you know, I love meeting new people. I'm always here for that. I'm a personable guy. And I'm here for this new adventure. I'm always curious to like why things come into my life for certain reasons, to learn new lessons, to meet new people. So I was like, you know, it was a tough decision to make because, again, it wasn't something I envisioned myself being on. But I think the open-endedness of it was like I had kind of creative control in the sense of like I could just be myself and I can do my best to navigate that. Yeah, and then I kind of went for it. I went for it.
That's fantastic. And do we say spoiler alert here? We're after the episodes have aired, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
If you don't want to know what happens.
quite a myriad of that's got to be a pretty serious NDA that they have you signed for that one. I don't imagine there are many more airtight than the Bachelor franchises.
No, that's true. Yeah, you sign a really tight contract and you can only talk about certain things based on, you know, all within the bounds of the contract. So this is me trying to navigate.
What are you allowed to say without getting thrown in prison during the middle of coronavirus?
That's yes, I can only corroborate things that people saw on the show.
Yeah, if you say too much, Chris Harrison comes to your house and
you never know, you gotta be careful.
We won't ask too many hard penetrating questions that get you thrown into jail. But hey, you know the judge. So
I know the judge.
That's can't be a bad thing.
Right. I don't know. Either I just get hit harder with public lashback, or I can navigate my way through the system. No.
But anyhow, so I was confessing to Carter beforehand that I had never watched a single episode of any of the Bachelor franchises before.
It's okay. You and me both. You and me both. Is
it good? So I'm the expert, actually.
So you,
what I'm getting expert.
You are.
And what is like? What's it like living in the mansion with a bunch of other people? All that I don't know. I feel like I would feel very strange about the like.
When's the last time you slept in bunk beds?
Yeah,
it's been a while since I slept in a bunk bed. Me and my brother had one when we were growing up. Oh, and also just going to like summer camps through that time, you kind of sleep in a bunk bed. So,
speaking of bunk beds, different. If you're here living at this mansion, how does that work with actually having a real job? Does everyone just tell their boss, like, hey, I'm going to disappear for X amount of months and then I might come back with a spouse? Is that how
that works? Well, yeah. So that's kind of up on you to navigate that conversation, right? For me, you just have to be honest and say, hey, I got this show. I'm going to be out for 4 weeks or however long. And either I quit or you have PTO or something that can, give you the admission to go. So that was me. I was able to just communicate to them, hey guys, I'm gonna be out for a little while. And yeah, there you go. Can't say much else. But they knew what it was because and they knew I was under contract, but that's kind of just how you can do it.
So yeah, you return to work and they're just like, hey Gabe, well, how'd it go?
Exactly. It's
like they don't know if you're hiding a secret wife in your apartment.
Right. No, exactly that. And I mean, yeah, it's just,
you're not.
Yeah. I'm not hiding a secret wife at all. But no, yeah, it is like one of those things. Now you're just if you weren't good at beating around the bush with conversations, you get really good at it now. I'm like, it was good, right?
It was a fun experience.
It was a fun experience. That's exactly
I had the time of my life, and that is all I'm legally allowed to say.
Exactly. So you just get really coy in all your answers, and they got to accept it.
So well, I don't know.
You didn't come home with in a relationship, obviously. But is there anyone from the show you still keep in contact with? Did you like form any lasting friendships?
Yeah. No. Thankfully, I'm good friends with just about everyone. Which is great. I'm one to really take advantage and have a high valuation on just relationships in general. So like me going into the show, I was like, okay, I don't know what this is going to entail, but I know that we're all here. We're all musicians. We all have this commonality and everyone was really genuine, really, really open in terms of just connecting and being themselves. And so we really developed a really great camaraderie and great kind of family connection through the experience, to be honest. Whether or not that's what you see on the show, that's at least I'll speak for myself. I have a really great relationship just with just about everyone. So being able to keep in touch with everyone in different ways.
So what's that like? Because they always, you always hear that reality TV show is not reality, but yet you're watching this and you were on set, so to speak, and you were living this house with these people for several weeks and you had just had people watching you. What's it like to sit back and watch yourself? I mean, you did not get the hours of airtime that some of the more colorful people might have gotten, but what was it like just seeing your life portrayed by you on TV?
It is a very surreal feeling watching yourself back. I think, you know, even going up into it, even to the question of like, what was it like being in the mansion with all these people? And it's one of those things that you don't know what to expect. And you get in there and it's everything that you don't expect. And you just try to embrace it and you try to control what you can control. And it's like, I wouldn't say if I can control an environment, I'm going to do everything that I can to control it. And so this one, you had all control stripped away because you had no clue what was going to happen. So it was one of those things for me of like, okay, what can I just do? And it was, the only thing I could have controlled was how I handle myself and how I connect with others and just be as honest as I can. And so it's a really surreal feeling watching yourself back because it was like, oh, wow, okay, that's what I look like. This is what I sound like. And again, yeah, if you were to watch the show, I have this, you know, very choice airtime, and it is what it is. It's kind of, there's only a certain amount of limited time to show everything, and things kind of air the way they do, right? But I was definitely there, and it really was a very learned experience overall.
I did, because I tried. I knew we'd gotten you confirmed to come on the show while these episodes are airing, right? And so I'm watching episode one, and I'm like, and they do the freeze frame on the person, and they're like, here's so and so, and they're a whatever their job is, or
exactly,
you know, and they're 26, and they're from, you know, New York or whatever. And so they do that, and I'm just watching it with my wife. I'm like, if I miss it, and like Gabe has his little cameo with his little profile, like stop it, so I can like take a picture of him. Like, he's gonna be on the show. And she's like, yeah, there it was. And it lasted like less than 2 seconds. It was a second and a half.
20 seconds. Yeah, it's really, really quick.
Some people got longer. You got a second and a half. I was like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
At the beginning of the first one, when they're doing the like actual, the like, you know, pre-recorded intros with people, you got kind of a longer one in that one.
Yeah, I had a feature in that one. Yeah.
I was going to say, you'd mentioned through the lead up to this part of your journey that music had been kind of a, of course, I've heard, and I don't know if Rice fans have the Hawaii Bowl story, so that might be one to share,
yeah,
as a kind of a springboard. But I guess we can get there and then transition to a little bit to what was this experience like for your musical career or passions, or like how does now music fit into that jumble of everything else?
Yeah. So when I was at Rice, I didn't really do a lot of music stuff. You know, I played the cello from like elementary through all through high school and things, which is really great. There was one semester at Rice where I played in the orchestra for non-majors, which was really fun. And I took some lessons from a grad student, and during spring ball, I broke a bone in my hand. And so I had to cancel my lessons for the rest of the semester. So that was an interesting combination. So that was an interesting experience. And then the Hawaii Bowl thing, in terms of just like music and what place did it fit in my life along the way. The Hawaii Bowl thing was really fun because obviously if you were to think of music, instruments, Hawaii, you would think of the ukulele. Most people would, at least. And so when I was out there, I was like, man, I really want to get an ukulele from in Hawaii. And I went and bought one while I was there. And if people are familiar, there were some mechanical problems with our flight when we were trying to get back to Houston after the whole experience. And so we were delayed. We were hanging in the airport. And I think someone suggested, like, hey, you should play a song for us all. I was like, sure. And I ended up busting out the ukulele, and they put me on the intercom in the airport, and I played Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
And this is this is Christmas, right? Christmas Eve.
Exactly.
So the flight had been delayed, and you just found out that you weren't going to make it home on time to see families on Christmas morning, and you bust out the ukulele at the airport.
Yeah, and there you go.
And thus began
the journey into music. And again, I think that's a part of the timeline for sure. And so like getting to this point with the show, again, I had always been intrigued by just wanting to get further into music or just devoting more time to it. Being on the show really pushed the envelope for me I think it exposed how much I really love music and just being again around musicians. We're jamming out all the time. We're just talking about our experience musically. I got into songwriting a couple of years ago, just very kind of randomly, just on the side, just from a way of almost just expressing and life. It's almost like journaling or different ways, but just like songwriting. That was pretty cool. And so being able to even share those songs with them on the show was really great. And, you know, coming from the experience, it's definitely shifted me into wanting to give that a lot more focus in my life now. And so I've kind of geared myself into, yeah, and just to playing and to writing, recording work, collaborating with some people, and just kind of building my network into music. So again, it's kind of, it's almost like getting a sense of clarity with it. And then once you get that sense of clarity, you kind of just reorient your life and how you're giving up your time and your resources. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
And I will just say that I will watch every single one of Judge Hidalgo's press conferences that is put to song. So just
okay.
If we're going to be here for a while, like maybe just run it past her.
You know, that's a thought.
She already does them in English and Spanish, so just, you know, add musical add ones on the back.
One more musical language expression. It's like, let's have a music concert at the end of the conference, right? No, yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at now. It's been pretty cool just reflecting on everything from being on the show. Yeah, and just capitalizing on things. So currently, yeah, I actually have my first, if I'm here to plug anything, I'm here to, I'm dropping my first single tomorrow at midnight tonight. It's going to be on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, everything. So if you're to search my name, or if you just go to my Instagram or anything, you'll be able to find a link to that. So that's kind of just this new, for me, like a landmark step of like, yeah, music, here we go.
And for those of you listening to this, which will be released on Saturday, we are recording on Thursday night, the 7th. Oh. So it'll be out. It'll be out
by the time you're listening to this.
So go check it out.
So now I want to hear a little bit more about this single. You'd mentioned songwriting, you know, in the last couple years. Is this something you've been sitting on for a while that you're finally putting out, or a new creation? Like, how did it come up?
Yeah. Yeah, this song I've been sitting on for like about a year and a half. And a lot of my songs have been because I've kind of just written them and then getting feedback if they're good or not. Because for me, like, songs are one of those things, like a lot of them, like, oh yeah, I think they're good. But then someone else doesn't like it at all. It's like, oh man, is it really good or not? You know, and so this is one of those songs that, yeah, I had written about a relationship that I was in. Really great relationship, just kind of, you know, reflective thoughts and emotions in a sense. And yeah, I was able just to finally get connected with a good friend of mine who's a great producer, and just get feedback and just record things. And we were able to do it remotely as well. The guy, my buddy who helps me out, he actually lives in Salt Lake City. So I was able to record things here and send it up to him and kind of just work on feedback and things. So it was an interesting process. But yeah, so that's what this song is in short. It's one that I've been sitting on for a little while.
Well, this is good. Is Mama Baker? Who's your inner circle that gets the whose feedback do you want and not want?
Oh, that's a good point. I think I want people who know music in general, and I'll take anyone's feedback. Obviously, I think in terms of like the weight, how much weight does feedback carry? It is because music and art in general is rather subjective, right? And so people can some people can be like, yeah, that was great, and not for like wanting to say it was bad, but they just have different perspective. And other people can say that was really bad, or, you know, so you kind of have to just do your best to not completely.
Yeah, I mean, some people are gonna
don't like it.
Some people are gonna like it, and some people aren't. But you definitely want the feedback of people who like know the craft, right? Because, like,
exactly.
You can't help
yeah.
whether or not someone likes it, but, like, you know, there are people who are going to be more or less knowledgeable about, like, you know, how well made it is, how much it kind of makes sense musically, how it all kind of fits together. So there's definitely
exactly that
people who can give you that instead of just, like, I like it.
Which kinda, right.
fits is another challenge for you, right? Because on the football field, like, a single play is pretty binary. Like, either you tackled the guy or you didn't. Like, either he scored or he didn't. In music, it's a lot less cut and dry. And it doesn't last 3 seconds. It lasts.
It's a completely different, like, feedback process, creative process, like, yeah, growth. Like, yeah, it is pretty polar opposite to an extent. There's a lot of transferable things in terms of just like work ethic, hard work, all these different things that I'm excited just to put into the music world. But yeah, you're right. I think when I think about like trying to invest in this music realm, it is adjusting kind of my mentality and like my energy and then my expectations on like, okay, what does it mean to grow and what does it mean to do well? You know, because it is completely different. It's not so binary. Yeah.
All right, so we do ask every former Rice athlete that we get on here about their favorite non-sports Rice memory. So you got one that comes to mind?
Oh, yeah. Favorite non-sport Rice memory. There's a lot to think about. So I lived on campus all 4 years at Rice. I really, really was grateful for doing that. I think, man, there's a lot to choose from. I'll say one of the things that always stands out to me is how quirky Rice is with their activities a lot, right? Specifically,
yeah.
The one thing that I remember the first thing that shocked me was Baker 13. Completely shocked me. I was like, what is this? People are comfortable with doing this? And I think probably one of the more memorable things was every October 31st, we have Brown Defense at Brown for all the people running for Baker 13. And I think it was my freshman year and they put all the freshmen on the ground. So like people are up in the towers and you can throw your water balloons from there. But they put all the freshmen on the ground to like try to block, they literally create a blockade in front of the doors to keep all, you know, the naked people from inside. And it was just memorable because I was one of those freshmen that was on the ground and literally just getting piled on by.
Do you have any friends come up and hug you?
I don't remember. I think I was just kind of trying to zone
that's
it.
That's a good answer. That's one of those bachelor non-answers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a non-answer. But it's also one of those things like, I just don't want to remember that either a little bit. But I think that for some reason that stands out to me as like one of those trademark quirky, like really interesting, memorable Rice experiences of just being in the culture there. And yeah, just a fun community for sure.
Yeah. Now, while we're on the Rice content, I think we've now got, so because you mentioned being an associate at Brown, and I know that's where you were when you were in school. I think I wasn't an athlete, but I assume I count. I'll count for Jones since I'm on this podcast every time. But
nice.
I think we've now got
to start making talent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's what I was doing. I was sneakily Googling because I knew because Christian was in Duncan and Taylor McHarg was in McMurtry. Yeah. And I had to Google what Erica was in. She was also Duncan. I was kind of hoping we were kind of hitting them one at a time.
Make our way around.
We have now hit all of the North colleges. We can add the last dorm if we get someone from Martell. And then Rendon I know was in Weiss. So we've made our foray into the South colleges, and we'll have to settle. I need to look up where we're getting. Spoiler alert: we're getting Tamir Jackson next week, so we need to look up. Need to look up what college he was in.
I feel like he was at Hanson or Will Rice for some reason.
We're covering South colleges. That's good. We're gonna get somebody from everywhere.
That's right.
Pretend this was completely intentional.
That's right. Well, now it can be a criteria when you're trying to choose who you want to be on the podcast next.
It's gonna be a bummer. It'd be a bummer when somebody comes on but they're from Duncan. They're like, sorry, we doubled up.
We can't triple up on Duncan.
That's right. That's right. That's one way to think about it.
Oh man, but yeah, when we're I've liked it, and Carter was the one who came up with this question a couple shows ago, and it was funny because it was kind of started with Christian Covington and his musical theater class that he had with Carter. So I feel like we've hit every bit of pop culture.
That, yeah. There you go. Yeah, us Rice people, we do a lot of different things, man, which is cool.
Yeah, we've had various musical approaches. We've had two separate people on here with t-shirt distribution and athletic experience. So
hey, that's cool.
and so while we're on music slightly, a little bit tangentially, I do have to ask, because I'm so, and I think I mentioned this on the pod last week, but I'm in the process of compiling the 2020 Rice football season preview. So that's going to be out later this summer. And as a part of that, I started doing this last year, but I've gotten to know a lot of the incoming freshman class. And as a part of that process, I've been kind of talking with a lot of them and getting their go-to karaoke song, which some of them may or may not make it into the final cut of the preview. We'll see. But while I was on that, I was struck thirsty, and it made me thinking, as someone who is probably done a bit more music than most, is it easier or harder for you to pick a karaoke song? And do you have one?
It can be. I think it's harder to choose a karaoke song, but mainly because there's a lot to choose from. Not because, like, I just don't know what to sing. I do have a karaoke song. I have a lot. It's funny. I use Evernote on my phone, and literally
you have to know your audience. You have to know your audience. Yeah,
and so literally, yeah. I have a short list of my go-to karaoke songs, because when you're, it's typically when you're about to do karaoke when you can't think of any songs. Yeah. So I have this reference. So yeah, I have my karaoke songs in the back pocket.
So just have like the song dash bar, and then the song dash honky tonk, and then the song dash campfire. Like are they labeled? Yeah,
well, like, you know, because like the karaoke songs I sing around like my theater friends are different ones than I sing if I like go to a dive bar or something like that. Because like you got to know the audience. Like for me, I got to like know which ones, like, okay, what is my voice in shape to sing? And like what am I going to be able to do well enough? Because see, my big problem is that I always like, I don't know, if I like have like one too many drinks while I'm doing it. And then I can't sing as well. And then I get mad at myself while I'm singing that I'm not singing it well enough. And it totally ruins the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
so this is what I'm hearing is, and I can get through some songs on guitar and can lead like some small group praise and worship, and I'm not nearly ready to go be put on stage in front of anybody. But what I'm hearing is the three of us, after this is all wrapped up, we need to go out karaokeing. And I don't think I've ever done that publicly, but that would be an experience.
That would be an experience. I don't know. I don't know.
I am ready for karaoke at any time, literally any time.
I love that. No, same here. It's definitely one of my favorite things to do, extracurricular things. If the opportunity is there, it's like, yeah, I'll sing a song or two or three.
Okay,
or
one or two from your top list.
You
don't have to sing them. You can if you want to, but
okay. Well, if you want me to, I can sing anything that you'd like me to sing. But typically, some of my go-tos, I always sing like some of the old like Frank Sinatra stuff. So, All of Me, The Way You Look Tonight, I've Got the World on a String. Some of those, like Beyond the Sea, like some of these old classic songs. I love to sing these songs. And
Fly
then,
Me to the Moon is one I've gotten good results with. Yeah.
It's one of those, like, yeah, kind of universally connecting songs in some audiences, perhaps. Maybe, yeah, most audiences love some old Sinatra stuff. And then actually, like, I love to sing, I'm a big fan of Go the Distance, the Hercules song. The Michael Bolton version, specifically.
Yeah. Okay.
The Michael Bolton. It's kind of funny. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. So whenever I can, I can't do it complete justice to how Michael Bolton sings it. But it's one of my songs. I'm like, oh, I love to sing that song.
Yeah, so this is fantastic. So I have small kiddos that are just getting into the Disney universe. And so we have a lot of princesses at my house right now, but I'm trying to sneak in. And so it was funny enough when we were doing brushing teeth. The other night we did a little bit. I turned on I Can Go the Distance, and my daughter was like, this is awesome.
This is amazing.
Like, I'm telling you, there's some good stuff.
So much good stuff.
So this is good. I'll tell her it's
when they've got
the
good Disney selection in there. That always really expands the.
It is. It's a good equalizer for sure.
Yeah.
And I heard they were doing a live action, or that was at least in the cards at some point, right?
No, I heard the same.
They just announced it. Yeah.
Yep. Live action Hercules. So hopefully it should be good.
I'll vote for you. We could get Gabe Baker as Hercules. You've done American Ninja Warrior. You can sing.
One of these days, I'll get in one of these things. I'm here for it. I'm so here for it.
Oh, man. This is good. Now everyone's asleep, so I can practice karaoke in peace now, right?
That's right. You can bust out the instrumentals. So my whole brain for sure time wise is definitely music geared, especially like nowadays with again everything kind of being shut down or postponed in terms of where I would actually normally be putting my time and being out and about. Like, you got to do something with the amount of creative space now, so it's kind of interesting timing, of which I'm really trying to take advantage of now, which has been cool, just from the music side.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we just need to get you onto your next reality show, and we need to get Judge Hidalgo to do musical COVID-19.
Those are the two things.
We got the agenda. Yeah.
We have the agenda. Yeah, I don't want to be. I never thought I'd be known as a reality TV guy, but I hope it. That's not my complete MO.
Well, I think it would be. It's kind of hard because if you had just done a reality show or just reality TV, like we could pencil you in. But we're running out of words and characters.
Well,
I'll admit that one of my one of my Netflix while we're off going into who knows what well, but one of my Netflix binges of quarantine has been Community,
which I had
never seen before, and now it's on Netflix, so we're watching it for the first time. And there was a reference at some point, I think it's season one of that show, to Dead Poets Society and Captain My Captain. Mm-hmm. And so that's what keeps going through my head at this point. Just so
a Community episode with a pop culture reference, you don't say.
There you go. I like it. It's a good connection there.
Ah, well, all right.
This is great.
It feels like we've been going for longer than we have. I think we covered a lot of ground in that 45 minutes. That
we
was,
did.
That's
lost track of time.
So to recap, Gabe, we have a season two of Beastmaster.
That's right.
On Netflix.
I'm going to check that out. We're watching Santa Clarita Diet right now. My wife got me watching that, but it's a pretty short show. We'll put that next in the queue.
You can do it. Season two, episode two. Yeah. There you go.
And then for posterity, we'll watch the remainder of Listen to Your Heart.
Finish it out. There's only two more episodes left. Two more episodes. If you've made it this far.
Oh man, I didn't realize we were coming up on it that quick.
It's a shortened season. It was, the new show. So they made it six episodes long. So,
All right, there we go. And do you have a Netflix, Hulu recommendation to drop before we wrap up?
Oh man,
you don't have to be on it. It can be anything.
It can be anything. Well, obviously, my go-to always is The Office on Netflix. I'm always like, if I don't know what to watch, I'm just gonna watch The Office. I've watched that. There's that new, it's a new movie on Netflix with Chris Hemsworth. I think it's called Extraction.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually really, it's really good. If you haven't seen that, I'm a big action kind of thriller movie kind of guy. So that's a good movie to check out.
Okay. On the list.
Yeah. It's actually really good.
This needs to be our recurring bit now, I think. It's like at the end, like, however long we go with this, like everybody's got to drop what are you streaming this week?
What are you streaming? Exactly. I'm trying to limit my streaming, healthy balance. The streaming, it can go wild very quickly. You're just clicking around,
In these times, especially.
Specifically in these times,
When you know they've asked you if you're still watching, you just shake your head.
We watched like three seasons of Community right when they put it on Netflix, and there was one night where we watched for like 3 hours, which I don't know, is a while, but like, you know, as far as Netflix binges go, like it's not, you know, not that crazy. And I swear the thing asked us if we were still watching like three times. It's like, how often do you need to do this? Like, I feel personally attacked.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you've been here way too long, basically. You need to go to the next thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to say thanks again. This was a lot of fun. We're glad to have you on. Go search Gabe Baker on iTunes and catch your newest single. Spoiler yeah. alert. Spoiler Not a spoiler, alert. I guess. It's live now. Unspoiled.
Yeah. It's called Butterflies. More specificity. So there you go. But yeah. Hopefully people will enjoy it to an extent. I liked it. So again, you don't know. You got to manage the expectation from the feedback, right? No, but I really, it's a cool song. So thanks for the plug.
All right. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. Thanks to those of y'all that have been listening for sticking it out with us. We'll see y'all again soon. And Rice Fight
never dies.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.